Welcome to the 6th episode of That's What Cheek Said with Cheddar and Ree.
This is the show where we talk about things that we have read, watched or lived. Happy listening! So, I was reading a book about how biology and evolution play a major role in the difference of sexes. It talked about the famous nature versus nurture argument. You know how sociologists and psychologists argued that the way we behave can be attributed to our environment and upbringing.
Scientists
have a different idea about this. They believe that evolution and hormones have a greater role than nurture.
So basically, the difference between what you are born with and what you grow into because of your upbringing and other things.
Yeah, exactly that. Now, see, I don't disagree with either. Because I think that if we ignore the biological differences, then we can't work towards equity. For instance, a woman needs menstrual leaves and maternal leaves because of her biological functions. We should not avoid this fact. On the other hand, the nurture theory is very important because this idea of gender is a social construct. Evolution might be responsible for the differences between sexes, but when we talk about gender equality, we talk about the socially constructed gender. Now, I did a little experiment here. I called my cousins. They are a 7-year-old and a 12-year-old. When I asked the 7-year-old about how they would define girls, they said there are two different kind of girls, good ones and bad ones. And they said the same thing about boys as well. That was so cute. Okay. But when I asked the 12-year-old, they described girls as beautiful and boys as hardworking. Now, of course, this definition was not rigid, but somewhere, somehow, that 12-year-old got this idea that beauty is a feminine trait and hard work is a masculine. This is such a basic thing, but it ends up creating this binary in our head and the society, of course, that we start perceiving the world around us in the same way. And such notions grow up to be stereotyped. Now, I feel that biology can't teach that. I'm sure that there is no theory about people with XX chromosomes being more beautiful than people with XY chromosomes.
No, there isn't. Let's talk about gender for a second. So, this idea of gender as a binary, it's mainly a mainstream Western idea. Mainstream Western ideas have focused on gender as a binary, masculinity and femininity serving as polar opposites of each other. Most other cultures, however, they have three genders, or they see gender as fluid or a spectrum, at least historically so, if not at present. And so the gender binary refers to the notion that gender comes in two distinct flavors, men and women, in which men are more masculine, women are feminine, and importantly, men are of the male sex and women are of the female sex. Much of the world around us is based upon this binary understanding of sex and gender, such as the clothing we buy, barbershops versus salons, and men's rooms versus women's rooms. Does this sound weird? It sounds weird. Anyway, before we move forward, we should have a little moment of clarity. We tend to see sex and gender as intertwined terms and often use them interchangeably, but they are not the same at all. Sex is a medically constructed category, often assigned of the genitalia at birth. Gender, however, is a social construct used to classify a person as a man, woman, or some other identity. So, be it two genders or three genders or many genders, there has been no known society without the concept of gender. Why, as a society, have we attached so much meaning and value to gender?
Sometimes it's so important to clear this basic definition.
Seemingly it doesn't create much of a difference, but knowing these things help us a lot in how we perceive the world around us. So, yeah. So, talking about why we have gender in the first place would take a really long time and get really boring really soon. So, to sort of summarize the summary of the entire thing, we can look at gender one of three ways. The first way would be to understand human behavior as a part of systems to keep it functioning, like the system. I don't know what I just said. Anyway, gender, looking at gender as a means of organizing society into distinct roles that complement each other. This comes from our earlier understanding of how we evolved from our hunting-gathering days to going to space days. That's not a very good way of describing civilization, but, you know, I hope.
It's true. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I hope. Yeah. So our earlier conception of hunter-gatherers is basically that men were the providers and women were the caretakers. There's evidence that it was men who hunted big animals, and it makes sense. Men on average tend to have more, like they have had more upper body strength. And this whole notion got institutionalized and is still taken for granted and has only become more integrate and integrated into our whole society, the breadwinner versus the caregiver dichotomy. So, and most of these theories like were developed in the earlier 20th century, and they're not really based on reality because it puts more emphasis on the role of stuff like hunting big wild animals, although it has become clear through recent studies that majority of food came from fishing, hunting small animals, or, you know, gathering food around, which was also performed by women. So, yeah. I know. Early sociologists argued that boys and girls are meant to fit certain roles and have complementary skill sets, and conventional gender roles was a way to do that. Society in turn encouraged this sort of gender conformity, but rests in the idea that gender is two distinct opposing set of stuff. Okay, that sentence did not end well, but you know,
basically a binary, you know, instead of looking at it as a spectrum.
Yeah, and now the problem isn't that we tried understanding gender in terms of, you know, a set of normal characteristics and defined them as norms or anything. Problem comes with if a person does not conform to these identities, they are dismissed. Like they have been culturally dismissed as being unnatural or not fitting in. Anyway, another way of looking at gender would be seeing it as gender is something that a person does rather than being an innate and internal thing. How do you do a gender? It's many little things like the way we choose to dress, or you know, how we talk, how we our body languages,
how
and how how we sit, how people interact with each other. These are all ways of doing gender. For example, eye contact while listening, smiling more, sitting cross-legged, these are all feminine things. And
I'm sure that when you said these words, people actually imagined a woman doing all these things,
probably at least the sitting cross-legged thing. These examples of doing gender, they're a good way to understand how our society's definition of masculinity and femininity are linked to each gender's power in society. Taking up space, directing conversations, these are all traditionally masculine traits and are associated with more power and are valued more than feminine traits. Now, another way of understanding gender would be to look at it as a structural system that divides power and privilege to some and disadvantages to others. Formally in history, it can be seen through limiting women's education or voting rights. In fact, in Saudi Arabia, women were first allowed to vote in the 2015 election. That's very, very, very recent. Anyway, informally and in sort of unofficial ways. For example, rationality is praised as the desired way of thinking. Rationality is also associated with leadership. Irrationality is seen as a weaker and non-desirable for leadership. And women are stereotyped as being more emotional, and hence more irrational and hence less fit for leadership positions, while men most naturally fit those positions. Although it's not as simple as saying all men are at the top of the power structure and all women are at the bottom. Conversely, some women face more disadvantages than others and vice versa. Along with gender, socioeconomic levels, caste, and sometimes religion also plays a role in distributing these identity-based advantages and disadvantages.
Okay, so since you have brought this topic of advantages and disadvantages, I want to mention that there is this campaign called He for She by UN. It was launched in 2014, and Emma Watson gave a speech at its launch where she talks about how gender equality, and it's a beautiful speech, and how gender equality works and how it should be, you know, imposed, why it should be imposed. I don't want to talk about the why right now, but she invites men to join that campaign, as he points out that men are often left out of this conversation. Now, I just want to point out that gender roles can be really toxic. Miss Watson actually mentions it in her speech when she says that men suffering from mental illnesses are afraid to ask for help because masculinity for them is defined as being tough. So
definitely.
Yeah. Now, when earlier I asked my cousins about their definitions of masculinity and femininity, I also asked my male friends the same question. And I specified that they don't need to be politically correct about their answers. And they categorized being courageous, emotionally tough, and being the breadwinner of the family as masculine traits. Whereas sensitivity, caring, care for others, and empathy as feminine traits. So you see, if someday I tell one of them to man up, then they are not gonna think about being sensitive, caring, or empathetic. They will just try and act tough. So this thing, you know, due to such reasons, men have a higher suicide rate than women or any other gender. Now, that's I actually find that very strange, because it's the women who tend to have higher rates of depression, and women also have a higher rate of suicide attempts. One of the biggest factor here is how as a society we expect men to be stronger, and as a result they don't usually get the support that they should. Now, as as my friend mentioned the breadwinner thing, and you also talked about these roles getting institutionalized. So yeah, men are more pressurized by financial issues as well. So another now another reason that factors in here is men are more likely to be men are more likely to use and try violent ways of suicide. That ends up being more effective, and women
that
on the
that's horrifyingly sad.
It actually is. When I learned about the suicide attempts, the rate of suicide attempts being higher in women, but it's actually, I think, I would rather not give the data. I'm not sure about it. But yeah, the suicide attempt rate is higher in women, and the suicide rate is higher in men. So this is the main reason of it. Because, you know, men are more likely to use the violent ways. So that's actually very, I don't know what to feel about it.
I came across this video. It was circulating around over Instagram, and I think it's probably available on YouTube as well. I do not remember who it was from, but it was from an organization, I think. And they were talking about how they held surveys across universities, and, you know, they were asking the students, like, things that they face and things that worry them and things that they're afraid of, I think. And most men, publicly, they answered stuff like studies, pressure, friends, family, etc. And privately, they confessed to much more, like loneliness and harassment and other stuff that they wouldn't, that they weren't even comfortable talking in public, which women were. Women were able to talk about grave things like harassment and all publicly, but
Yeah, because you see, women are like more feminine. Feminine traits are considered to be fragility. So you know when
communication and openness is seen as a feminine trait. So women are much more comfortable, even if not in open public spaces. Even amongst friends, women are more comfortable discussing their lives, their feelings and thoughts, and men aren't, which is really sad. Especially for young boys.
You know, get the space among other women. But men don't. Because even though, the male bonding is such a celebrated thing in our society. But I don't...
It's a hyper-masculine thing.
Yeah, it's not, men never get that safe space to open up about their feelings.
I get really happy when I see my male friends supporting each other in... little things, conventionally non-masculine things.
I get really happy when one of my male friends come to me and try to, talk about their feelings, because
it's such a
wonderful thing to see, because it doesn't usually happen.
It's hard for them, I think. It's harder for them, at
least. It is, actually. Anyway, so, that thing that I was saying about using more violent methods of suicide, that actually can be attributed to men being more goal-focused and single-minded, as defined according to the Darwinians. But I just don't understand that. Are we really not going to interfere with our nurturing capabilities as a society to raise men who are not taught to bottle up their emotions because of how we define gender?
Being strong is ideal, being tough is not, because strength can also be found in vulnerability, in opening up, in
talking about your feelings.
Yeah, many other ways. Yeah.
And also, the financial thing, the pressure of being the breadwinner of the family. It's a sad reality of our society that men are pressurized to. Somewhere in our point, we have seen our fathers and we have felt this ourselves that, even though when women talk about, the wage gap, then what we forget is that it is because of men being pressurized. One of the reasons is men being pressurized, financial pressure
into
of the family.
High pressure job.
Responsibility of a family, to run a family.
Even when you go on dates, we see the more normal thing to be the guy paying, at least on first date. It is sort of dying out now, but I'm not sure if it's dying out. Is it dying out?
I don't think there's
not to speculate, but
The whole idea that it's this thing is related to chivalry, that's strange, because I understand that there's a whole history behind it, that women weren't able to pay for themselves. But now when they are, then still men have this pressure from the society, from their own definitions of masculinity.
Our current understanding of gender norms comes from earlier sociological theories of hunter-gatherer behavior, which now has mostly been discarded. And even if not, as humans who have come so far in terms of civilization, I mean, our ships are in interstellar space, for crying out loud. Why am I only coming up with astronomical examples? Anyway, what I was saying is we have come way too far to let our day-to-day behavior be dictated by 20th century bearded old people. I mean, think about it. Sociologists then, and by extension people, have built societies and understood them based on a flawed understanding of our hunter-gatherer days, because we didn't know any better.
Yeah. In today's world, where we celebrate an AI getting a citizenship, we can't cite biology every time to define our social behavior. We have evolved so much as a society. We have got amazing mental capacities and abilities. In such a world, why do we keep on going back to theories of evolution while talking about something that has been institutionalized by us as a society?
Which we can easily outgrow. I mean, we've outgrown our limitations on so many fronts, and I'm sure we will continue to do so. And the best foot forward would be to start with a front of, mutual acknowledgement and respect and other good adjectives instead of finding new ways to just conform to old stories.
Yeah, that's such a positive note. I think we should stop here because, it gets sad and gloomy somehow. I don't know, we can actually do it very soon.
And this is a very big conversation. This is a long conversation. And of course, we have not covered all the bases, but
Okay, but we will do it in later episode someday.
Yeah.
So stay tuned and keep listening to us. And
this has been That's What She Said. See you next time. Hear you next time? Can we say see you next time?
No. Hear us next time. And do follow us on Instagram. That is @TVPodcast.
And on Twitter. We have a Twitter handle.
I don't remember my Twitter handle. What's the Twitter handle? I think @TVPodcast.
We are doing great as promoting ourselves. Hold on, I'll just check real quick. Okay?
It is actually TV_podcast.
Let me just, it's @TV_podcast. Okay.
Yeah, I remembered.
We are great at promoting self promotion. Yay.
Okay, so follow us on Twitter or on Instagram so that you are updated about our next episode.
Stay tuned. And much more. All right, stay tuned.